And you guys can have a seat. Are you ready for the word? Well, I had one all ready for you last night. I had worked on it and built that sermon and blessed the Lord and prayed over it. And then last night, some other things begin to come to me, and I realize that next Sunday is our 29th anniversary. And so I begin to look at this, and then I was torn on the other things and what I should bring. But you know what? I'm not going to be torn when it comes to the word of the Lord. I'm just going to do what I feel in my heart to do. I don't have to worry about all that. So if you'll just allow me to bring you a few personal things in my heart for you about our church, I want to do that. And then we'll go to a couple of scriptures. I will be going to Isaiah first if you want to get over to Isaiah. Now, don't forget to pray for Kenny's family this week. I will be giving you, they said we would meet this week and get the details on a service that we will have for him. I don't know if they're going to want to use the church or the cemetery, so we'll see. But I'll let you know as soon as I can. Now, don't forget, Wednesday night, we are doing service across the driveway there, across the parking lot in the family enrichment building. We were there last Wednesday, and it worked out really well. We have tables. You have notes. You have a table to write on now. You can bring your drinks that you want to bring. And the ladies had cookies, and who knows what they might bring. You know these ladies love to cook. So you'll have a little treat when you get there, so that'll be good. Amen. How many would say that our church has been so blessed over the years? We have been blessed. We've been protected. And I'll tell you, he has kept us over the years. You say, then why aren't we a mega church? It doesn't matter to me. I'm answering God's call, and you're answering God's call. And when he's ready to come in and blow it up, we'll let him blow it up. And he'll use us to do it. But until then, we're just going to keep plugging and doing what he calls us to do. And I want to thank all of you who have served at Landmark over the years. Thank you so much. I will say this, that we are a chosen people, and we are called out. Now, that's a part of a whole. That's a part of all the entire body of Christ in its entirety. But we are also right here on this corner of Westwood and Olive Avenue. We are a chosen people for such a time as this, and we've been called out of the world to serve him right here in this house. And so I'm very, very thankful for that. And I'll tell you, we have weathered a lot of storms. And with every storm that came, and I mean, they were big ones. Some of them you knew about, and we all went through it together, and some of them you didn't know about. And we just kept on going. I just kept on moving ahead. And I'm thankful that you kept on moving ahead with me. You know, we don't even have to mention COVID. That was a small storm compared to some of the others that we've gone through. But I'm very thankful for the staying power that he gave us. And we've always stayed on course. You all know that. I don't have to tell you that. We've stayed on course, and we have stayed focused. I've always stayed focused on Jesus, and so has you. So have you. There's been times where I've had to tell you now, don't look over there, don't look over here. You stay focused. And then you'd get right back over there, and we would stay focused together and just keep moving. And over the years, like every church, people came and people went. And that's just a given in the churches. Now, if your church is larger and you have 5,000 and you lose however many, nobody's even going to know it. But when you're in a smaller church, somebody leaves. Everybody knows each other, so they're going to want to know where they went and why they went. And I cover rear ends all the time. You know, you don't ever know, for the most part, unless they tell you. But many of the times, it's been for good. We've sent out a lot of ministers and pastors and evangelists and missionaries that have gone to other places. And I'm really proud of that, and I've supported their ministries. In fact, we have helped churches set up their ministries and bought chairs for them, bought sound systems, and did a lot of things over the years. Things that you wouldn't know is when I see a church being built, now it's just a little bit, a little like a drop in the bucket. When a church is being built, like New Life Center was in the process of building, and the Revival Church, Brownsville in Pensacola, when they went on out to Alabama and began to build, it was a huge church. But whenever I found and I remembered the Church of God out in Selma, I heard they were building, and I would always send $500 out to them. Why? Because I knew that we were going to need something here at Landmark. I knew that we were going to have needs. We were going to need carpet. We would need to change some things. We would need to have the trees cut. You know, other churches, big churches, they got a lot of money to do those things. With us and smaller churches, medium churches, you know, it's a lot to keep up with. And we've always done that. And I believe it's because of our giving. I don't broadcast our giving to you. But you'd be surprised how many households we've set up. I mean, from people that got out of prison to a single mom. I remember that sweet single mother and her little girl. They came and they had nothing. And they had been living from house to house and here and there. We found them a mobile home and paid their first and last and got them into the mobile home. We gave them furniture, and most of the time it wasn't brand new, but if you went to Value Village, you could usually buy brand new furniture, I think, mostly new. And so most of the time we used Value Village, and we'll go there and set up that little mama's house, and her little girl was about 8. And they were so happy over their home. We got them candles and chairs and a table and food. They were so happy. And they hadn't even gotten the utilities on. They hadn't gotten the electricity on yet. And so she said, "It's okay, Pastor, it's okay. We want to spend the night there." And so they lit the candles and they forgot. And she went to bed and left the candle going on, or the candle lit behind a toilet seat, and a cat jumped up there and burnt the trailer down with them in it. And we had just baptized them up here. We had just baptized those two. And it was amazing, you know, that we got to sow into their lives and give them some happiness just before they passed. Their little girls, those two little sweet girls, remember them. You all will remember those sweet little girls that died in the cemetery. There was a sinkhole and the babies were out there playing. They had been riding our bus to church with Brother Scott Mann. So they were riding the bus to church, and pretty soon they got the mother coming, got the grandpa coming. It was such a joy to have them here. And they were here about a year when those little girls fell in and died. We did their funeral, blessed their mom. She was out of her mind. The dad was in prison. He was doing all kinds of other things. But there's so many things that a church does that nobody knows. I mean, hundreds of funerals and hundreds of weddings and hundreds of baby dedications over 29 years, you know, and hundreds of baptisms, but hundreds of salvations and hundreds of healings. We've had hundreds of meetings. In fact, if you want to put down, oh, you could never figure it out, I don't suppose, because we used to do so many special meetings. Remember all those revival meetings we did? And then just the regular Sunday night, Wednesday night, special meetings in between. There would be thousands of meetings that we have held just right here in this building, not counting the other one. So with thousands of meetings come thousands of souls, and some get saved and go or go back to their church. If they were of the Nazarene faith and came here with a friend, they'll go back to the Nazarene. They came here as a Baptist and rededicated their life, they'll go back to the Baptist sometimes, and then sometimes they come back. And so, and I'm sure I've told you this before, but I believe it was the potter's house, Jakes. T.D. Jakes said this. He said, "Pastors, you'll keep your sanity if you will realize that you are only a bus driver. And so don't think of yourself any more than that. And you just keep driving the bus. And some people will say, 'I want to get off.' Mad at you or mad at them or don't like the songs or whatever it is. And when they say that, you bless them and send them. Open the door and let them go. Don't you ever say bad things about them. You keep the door open. They may want to come back to your love. So you let them come." And then he said there will be other people that will stop by because of a friend or they're passing by and they'll want to get on your bus. And just open the door and let them come in and open the door and put them on your bus. And he said some will ride all the way in with you and others will get off. But remember this, you'll still all be family. Whether you come or whether you go. Anyone that's ever left, if I ever saw you in a restaurant, I wanted to be able to hug your neck and never think you mad at me or me mad at you. We'd just always be the same because we all serve the same Father. Amen? Hallelujah. There may have only been two people, but this is scriptural that I've had to mark and say, leave. You can't, don't ever come back. And I would tell you, don't even speak to them. Stay away from them. And I would tell you that. Some of you went on anyway because you just couldn't imagine that, you know, whatever they did. And I couldn't tell you. But I've never marked anyone like the Apostle Paul, but he did it. I don't know how many times he did it, but I can tell you I remember two times I did it, and it was horrendous. I hated it. It broke my heart. It killed me. But I remember the one time you all came, we came up here and prayed together, and we got through it. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go into all this with you. Sometimes you just, I think, need to know. Amen? We bought Christmas trees. We paid the rent. Now, one time a man came in, and he brought me a $900 phone bill, $900 cell phone bill. And yet I just ran on to him at Walmart, and he had two huge bags of dog food and a stereo in his car. I'm like, okay, now I'm not paying that phone bill. You know, sometimes you just got to come right out and say, I'm not paying that bill. Now, this is a church, and you're supposed to help me. I said, listen, I could pay everybody's phone bill out there, and they're faithful, and you're not. Okay, so I'm not paying that bill, and even if it was one of the most faithful and they had a $900 phone bill, are you kidding? I would never have a $900 phone bill. Well, anyway, so you got all that going on, and the blessings have been good. We've received many blessings, but we've given out many blessings. We've given to so many great ministries that came through. And we gave to needs, and when the things happen, you can't pay your Edison bill. There's been times we've done that. When the orange trees came, we paid so many Edison bills, people started bringing them. And I said, okay, look, I need to have your receipt. Well, I said, bring me the receipt. They quit bringing the bill. So I thought, all right, girl, wise up. So then I bought cards, and I thought I'll give a $50 card. So I gave out the $50 card on the Edison, a $50 card for food, a $50 card to help them with gas because gas was bad. Just wanting to give. So we started giving all of those, and pretty soon there was a line up outside. And Lyndall says, Pastor, there's a line out there. They think this is a refuge or shelter or something. So there's times where you have to have great wisdom in giving. So I called some of the other pastors. They said, look, here's what we're doing. We're giving down to PAMA, Porterville Area Ministers Association. So let's give our monies to them. And then when hard times come, people can't pay this or do that, we can send them down to PAMA. So that's what we started doing, was giving into PAMA. And I'll tell you, last month when the big flood hit in Texas, we already give to Franklin Graham Samaritan's Purse and to Operation Blessing 700 Club, because they're always right on the spot. We also give to Red Cross. We give to some of the big boys because they're going to be out there. And so I had Michelle double our gift that we usually give. We doubled that to them, but today it will be our regular missionary time where we give to all of the ministries that we give to. Maybe I can tell you more about that next week. But our 29th anniversary, I have asked you to join us in celebrating our church, okay, that we celebrate it with a $300 gift. You can call it an investment, but I started talking about it back there in June, May and June, so we had a good 3 months for you to think about that, pray about that, and give a gift to God's house of $300, and we will be receiving that next Sunday. Now, it's here. Let me give you this scripture in Isaiah 60 and 13. I would call this offering all about a refresh, about an upgrade to God's house, on his house and on his property. And so that's what we're wanting to do, is beautify this place for God and take care of some of the needs. I mean, great needs that the church has that we cannot take out of the general fund. All right. Look at Isaiah 60 and 13. I've always loved this. The glory of Lebanon, and Lebanon was a beautiful place. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you. The cypress, the pine, and the box tree together. To beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. So he told the builders of the temple, ooh, the glory is coming to you, and you'll receive the cypress tree and the pine and the box tree. You'll get all that together for the greatest wood in your nation to build my house. And I'm glad that he said this. Why? So that I can beautify the place of my sanctuary. It's his. You say, you mean this little barn is his sanctuary? Yes. We're his sanctuary, but we come to meet right here. The Nazarenes meet down there. Believers meet downtown. Everyone meets in their places. We've all got, we are the sanctuary, but this is God's house. As the world drives by, cars are driving by right now going east and west, right here. I can see them going. When they look over here, they're looking. You know what? They say, there's God's house. When they see you at Walmart, they don't say, oh, there's God's house, though you are. You're his temple. But when they pass this place, they say, that's God's house. So God said, I will beautify the place of my feet. And I, listen to what he said. What did he say? Who would make the place of his feet glorious? Who would do that? He said, I will. Him. I will make the place of my feet glorious. How's he going to do that? He did this through the men that were bringing in the wood. He's going to beautify this place by us in this day, by us who bring our tithes and our offerings and our first fruit and our blessing and our dollars and our change and our checks. He will do it through us to make his place glorious. And I know this church. Some of you have never given a gift that big. You have never given $300. You've never given that gift. And to you, it may as well be $1,000. I remember, I mean, it was, yeah, I'm an old woman now. You should have a little something as you get older. But I know that everyone, I know you all, I know your hearts. Everyone wants to participate. Everybody wants to. And God knows that. And furthermore, he would love to see you enter that $300 in his offering. He would love to see you do that. Probably more than you want to. I don't know about that. You really would like to be able to give in that, but you just can't. And I'll tell you, you can ask God, and you can say, God, provide a special offering to me. You provided wood. You provided the cypress, the pine, and the box tree together to make the place of your feet glorious. Ask it. Tell him like this, Pastor Jesus. A lot of the people in the church are going to be able to give $300. A lot of them are going to be able to give a lot more than that. I'd like to be a part of that. Can I give? You know, you say, oh, it's only a week away. How much time does God need? He can give it to you before you leave this house. I remember one time I was a young woman, and I wasn't even married. And the pastor was taking up a special offering, and he was asking everybody who was there to give $100. Well, he may have well said $5,000, because I didn't have $100. I mean, there wasn't no $100 in me anywhere. And I remember just sitting there saying, oh, God, you know my heart. God, I would love to give $100. I would give it right now. If it's all I had, I would give it. But I don't have anything. Maybe if I dug in my purse, I'd find something. But I said, Lord, I would. Yeah, I was working down at Sherwood Homes, making $65 a week, and had a car payment. So I'm like, Lord, and helping my mother. I can't have that, but please, Lord, if there's any way I could give that, I'd like to give it. Lord, if you can't find it right now, then give it to me and I'll bring it back tonight. Okay, oh, ye of little faith. So the pastor gets ready to take the offering. And you know this man, he was, I won't name him. Anyway, he was sitting up front, and I was about middle ways back there with some of the younger girls, and he walked back there to me, and he says, Sister Paulette, he goes, I'm going to give my $100, but he said, I've got another $100 bill here, and he said, the Lord told me to come over and bring that to you because you really want to give it. And I said, but it won't be me giving, it'll be you giving. He said, no, now I'm giving this to you. You can take somebody to lunch today, or you can go do what you want to do, or you can give it your heart's desire. Isn't that what you wanted? I said, yes, how do you know? He said, I'm just telling you, here it is. I got up and got to give that offering in the bucket before they got back there to me. That's how he is. That's how he is. So don't ever think I can't do it. No, you can't do it. I couldn't do it. There's so many things I can't do. And then I find out, who do I think I am? I can't do it. One time I told him, we were about 400 people, and I was thinking, I said, Lord, I know we're moving down to that new building, Lord, I don't know if I have what it takes to pick it up and run it down there. And he said, you didn't have what it took to get you here. So what are you talking about? I'm going to tell you, he will humble you really quick. So you know what? I can walk in humility in this thing because I've been there, done that. And so don't you worry. You talk to the Lord this week. And if you really want to give it, now listen, if God gives you $400, don't you say, oh, shoot. I haven't been to Pismo Beach in so long. You know what? I'll take a rain check, Lord, and I'll give that to the church next week. He hears your heart, and he watches you, okay? When Jesus watched the people at the temple, listen, if I did what Jesus did, you guys would throw stones at me? Yes, they would, Linda. So Jesus, they're bringing their offerings here. Jesus is sitting here, and he's watching what they give. You say, no, he didn't. Read it. So he's watching, and he was watching everybody give. He watched that little widow woman came up. She had one mite, and she put that one mite in, and then Jesus just got up and started preaching about it. And he said, you know, I know so many of you could give more than what you have. You got a whole bunch. But this little woman gave more than all. She gave a mite. Okay, so he knows what you and I have in our checking accounts, in our pockets, in our savings, in everything we do. And I know, listen, let me relieve you of this. God doesn't expect you to give if you don't have it. He wouldn't. You don't get blood out of a turnip. If you don't have it, don't give it. But don't stop him from blessing you, from saying, Lord, please help me. I would love to do this. I mean, go ahead and expect it. And if it doesn't come in, you don't have it, you can't give it. Amen? Amen. I mean, I think I have a right to tell you that because it's true. So, you know, if you don't ask God to provide, then, you know, you may miss out on a big blessing. But I believe he has a special offering to give to you, to give to your church, to beautify the place of his feet. You say, what are we going to do? Listen, we've got a parking lot out there that's cracked all over again. We just sealed that thing years ago, and it's like by the time you get one thing done, it's like when my husband was in the Navy. Those sailors would be way out there in the Vietnam Sea, and they spent their days sometimes, if they weren't shooting the guns, they were painting the ship. They would paint. And he'd say by the time they got that ship painted and got to the other end, it was time to turn around, go back down there and start painting again. The salt water had just tore up the ship with the paint. And so that's kind of how it is in the church. You get the trees cut, they're all done. Pretty soon it's time to do it again. It's time to fix the pavement again. And so in here, look at the lights in the other room. Some of them work, some of them don't. In fact, we'd like to replace these and get much better lighting. The wonderful people in the sound booth, they have a little bit of room. Tiffany, I can barely see your eyes. So Brother Roman and his team has said, look, we'll save a lot of money, but we will take that down. We'll move it around. We'll make a little more space for them. Amen. You care about everybody in the house. And I love you guys and appreciate it so much, Kathy, all of you for serving. We'll have the other one up probably this Friday, I think, and then we'll get to use our monitors here pretty soon. But there is so much to do with what we're raising. Now, I'm just talking to you, okay? I'll be done in a minute. Is this all right? Let me give you a couple of other things here. One time I went to Oregon. Oh, it was about 5 years ago. I went to Oregon to do a family camp. It was in Drain, Oregon. And in Drain, Oregon, they have a camp, just like all churches have campsites, Assemblies of God, Pentecostal Church of God, Baptist. Everybody's got a church camp. So you have junior camp, and you have senior camp for high schoolers. Then you have family camp. So they asked me to come up, and I had done the youth camps there before and a few camps with Laney and Doyle. But they asked me, I was already pastoring, and they asked me to come and do the family camp. And I said, okay, let me see if I can, you know, work that in. And so I got it on the schedule. We made it work. And I said, how many speakers are you going to have? And they said, oh, you're the only one. But they didn't tell me that. Well, I knew that, but I didn't know they were having two services a day. They have a morning and night. And so I did the morning service, night service, and all the pastors were there and their wives and all their deacons, I won't say anything, and all the people, and it was fun, and there was kids, and there was youth, and the whole families were there. And I'm going to tell you what, you could not afford 1 ounce of anointing or 1 ounce of grace from leaving you. You needed all you could get and then some. And then everybody in the house was prayed for at least 3 times every night. I'm pretty sure 3 times for some. Anyway, the Lord told me before I got on the plane, said, now make sure that you take a check from the church for $500 and then you give a check for $300. Well, that was going to put a little squeeze on me, and the church really wasn't in a place, but you know what, you're giving, so you just do it. And so I got a check from the church for $500, took the church the check from me, and didn't even know what that was about. And I know how those brothers take offerings. I knew they were going to get up there and not tell the people what it was for, anything going on. And they didn't read a scripture. It was just like, come on, ushers, we're going to receive an offering now. And they just pass the buckets. Well, you know, I didn't want to, I'm the new girl on the block. I didn't want to act like I was anybody. And so that's what I knew was going to happen, and that's what happened. And so the first night I went to bed, maybe the second night, I got in bed and I heard the Lord say, now, I want you to receive an offering for them. I'm like, Lord, you can do anything and I'm going to need a miracle because you know that brother's not going to have me take receive an offering. He's just not going to do it. And he said, I want you to receive an offering and I'll show you when to do it. And you wait until the glory comes in when you're worshiping and dancing. And then he said, when you ask the bishop if you can receive that offering for them, I'll make him ready. I said, well, all right. Well, that'll work. And so I passed it by his wife first. And so I knew it was coming up one day, one night, either morning or night service. So I asked the sister, I said, hey, you know, the Lord has spoken to me that I'm to receive an offering one night for you guys. Oh, I said, well, do you think Bishop would want me to do that? She said, well, I don't know. You'll have to ask him. Well, when she said that, my heart dropped. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to hang on to your blessing. You said you'd prepare his heart. And so I asked her another question. I said, you know, we've been eating some really good food. Those women in there, they've been cooking the meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and they're second to none, and they're so good. But I went in to talk to a couple of pastors' wives cooking in the kitchen, and I was complimenting their food, and they're like, oh, girl, you don't even know what we go through to put that food out there. They go, that stove doesn't work, and this one doesn't work, and this dishwasher doesn't work. We're having to wash all these dishes. You've got to be kidding. This is a church camp. With all of these churches, why aren't they taking care of God's tabernacle? It was an old tabernacle. But it doesn't matter. Don't let it go downhill. Keep it up. Are y'all in here? All right. It helps if I know you're here. So I said, oh, my goodness, really? And it just broke my heart. I didn't even want to eat the food after that. Oh, those ladies were just sweating it out after church. Then they would have snacks for us afterwards. Oh, Carl, you'd have been so mad. So we'd go in there, and they would have the sweetest and the best snacks laid out on the table. And I'd go back in, and those little women just looked like ragamuffins. They had worked so hard. And so I asked the past bishop and his wife. I said, so how much do you guys think it would take to refurbish that kitchen? And he said, oh, I just had some guys come in here and tell us the other day. They said it cost $26,000 to repair that kitchen, get it up to par to what it needs to be done, refresh it. I said, $26,000, huh? And the Lord said, we're going to raise that. He said, that's what you're going to do. Now, you tell him, ask him, not her. You ask him if you can receive that offering. And I asked him. I said, Bishop, I didn't tell him what the Lord had said about that. Bishop, would you mind if I received an offering? I feel like the Lord's telling me to receive an offering. Not that I'm lifting myself up above you guys, but could I do it one night for you, for you guys? Of course. I'd love for you to. I said, all right. Man, I'm telling you, the worship was going on. These people were tearing up. They were dancing and falling out. And it was so wonderful. And all of a sudden, I looked up there at the bishop, and his eyes were right on me. And I said, now, can I do it now? And he did that because he didn't know what to do with that glory that was hanging around that house. I mean, the glory came in. So after they partied a while, I partied with them, and then I walked up there. And I said, listen, folks, listen, we have been so blessed this week. How many of you love that food we've been eating? Man, it's been so good in the morning, afternoon, evening, and the snacks. You ladies who've cooked, I wanted them to stand up. They couldn't stand because they were in that old kitchen trying to cook for us. I said, well, all right. But look, the glory is here. And whenever you give in the glory, there is a glorious offering and a glorious harvest that comes on it. Now, that wasn't trying to get into their pockets or do anything else. I just knew it was a truth. So I said, the glory is here. And if we give in this glory, the Lord said there will be a glory on the harvest. And I said, I brought $500 from my church. I didn't know what that was about. But Landmark Christian Center in Porterville, California, we're going to give $500 in this offering. And myself, I'm going to give $300. So I'm going to ask you pastors, you should probably have your church maybe checkbook or a card or something. But I'm going to ask you pastors to give something. Now, you give something and blah, you know, just give. Here's when I told them what I was giving. I told them what our church was giving. And I said, because you know what? We have a church and we're going to need some things. And I said, the Lord told me to give this before I came. I didn't know what I was giving into. But I said, by the way, I was just talking to your bishop's wife and told him I was talking to some of the pastor's wives and told them how the kitchen, they said, they just had a subcontractor out there, and he said it's going to take $26,000. And I said, how many of you believe we can get $26,000? All right, well, let's do it. Let's all do it. Come on. Now, let's put our money together. How many believe we can get $26,000 tonight? Not by pledges, but tonight. And I said, so pastors, I'm going to ask you to come along with me and my church. I don't even know you, but I'm obedient to God. So now we got the offerings ready, gave people time to write the checks out. And you just didn't know, you know, you're talking to a group of people. You didn't know how much would come in. And I said, God, I'm trusting you. And so it was a cool evening in Oregon. It was a little bit warm, but they had the side doors open, and I was sitting about where you are, Lynn, and the door was open over there, And so all of a sudden, one of the elders, they had gone out and counted that offering. Took them about an hour, and they came back in through there, and that man was just jumping. He said, Pastor, he said, you are not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. He said, we have $26,500 in that offering. And then he says, and one lady gave $20,000. And I said, brother, is she good for it? Do you know, is she good for it? He says, I don't know her. I'm like, oh, brother, God, please. Please make her good for it. Help her to reckon that she's got $20,000 in the bank. Well, then we found out that she was a mother to somebody, and this older, elderly lady had just told her daughter the week before. She said, you know, she said, I'm wanting to give some money to a ministry, and I don't know where to give it. Listen, that little sweet woman had never gone to that church. In fact, she didn't even go to church. She didn't even go. So she came there and they brought her. She was on a walker and they brought her in. By the time I went out to see her, they had put her in a van and she's getting ready to go. And I thanked her on behalf of the people. And I said, oh, honey, I've been wanting to give that money somewhere. I didn't have any money to give it. And so she gave the $20,000. And that camp gave $6,500, but whatever it was, God did that. You know, the Bible says, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in his eyes. It's marvelous in his eyes. Now, if we had 100 people give $100, 100 people give $300, we would raise $30,000. And that would be a blessing to do so many things that we want to do, from these screens to painting the inside. The outside of the building needs painted. You've been driving down Olive. I don't know if you've seen it, but you can see all the metal studs, every one of them. The sun has just bleached this house. Well, the platform needs wired. There needs foyers in the lights in the foyer. It's so dark out there. We need lighting in the parking lots. You're coming in on Wednesday nights now, and in the wintertime, it's so dark out there. I don't even like you to go to your car without the lights. Some of you may have not noticed that, but I sure do. So we need headsets again for ushers so we can protect you. Want to know where we're just protecting all the openings and doors? We try to protect around here. We protect the anointing as well. That's why we just don't let everything go. Now, I make people mad at me, but I don't care. They're not my place. And I understand how what we've got to do to protect you and take care of God's house. So I'm just going to ask you to ask him what he, you know, to give you help, to help you do that if you can. And I want to close with this verse. And I taught this on Wednesday nights, inside, outside, up and down, sideways, sideways. You should have this in your heart by now. But Revelation chapter 3, look at this, verse 18, and I close with this. And I don't know if that much doesn't come in, that we won't be sealing the parking lot. That's a whole other animal. That's a whole lot of money. That would be about $20,000 by itself. But there's a lot that we need to take care of, you know that. But if we put our $300 together, it'd be an amazing thing what we can do. And I know many of you will give more, some will give less, but every penny's going to be appreciated. And listen, please, listen, hear this. If you don't have it, then you can't give it. I understand that. So please don't think anyone's putting pressure on you. I'm not putting pressure on you. I'm just bringing you a good teaching today, all right? Thank you, Linda. I said I'm giving you a good teaching today, amen, church? This is your house. It's God's house. All right, so don't worry about it. You ask him for it, and if you don't get it, then don't worry about giving it and go tell your mama, my pastor, she's trying to get me to get $300, and I don't have it. I know you wouldn't do that because I know your heart wants to. All right, Revelation 3:18. Here's what Jesus told John to say to us. He said, I counsel you to buy from me gold. Now, don't go borrow anything. I don't like these evangelists on TV that say, go put it on your credit card. Go borrow it. No, don't go borrow any money from anybody. If God don't give it, you don't need it. All right, so we're not going to ask you to borrow anything because Jesus didn't. Jesus said, I counsel you, you buy gold from me. You need an offering, you buy that from me. Now, it'll be refined in the fire. Why? That you might be rich. Jesus was rich in his health. He was rich in goods. He was rich in wisdom. He was rich in righteousness and holiness. He was rich. And he said, as I am, so are you. Amen? And then he said, so buy gold, number one, that you might be rich in all things. And then he said, I want you to buy this. Buy white garments that you might be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. In other words, I'll cover your sin. Now you come and you buy your righteousness and your holiness and reckon yourself dead to all those habits and all that mess. He said, now you buy those white clothes from me so you won't be found naked and unclothed. Amen? All right, so you don't have to worry about your own riches. You don't have to worry about your own clothes and your goods because he said, I got all that for you and your own righteousness. And then he said, I love this. Anoint your eyes with eye salve. Why? So you can see. We need to be able to see where we're going and what we're doing and what way to take. Lindell used to sing the old song, show me your way that I may walk with you. Show me the way. I put my hope in you. Sing it, Lynn. The cry of my heart is to love you, Lord, to live in the touch of your hand. Make me stronger each day. Show me the way. He said, so you just go ahead and buy some eye salve, the eyes of your heart. buy your eye staff from me so you can see. Hallelujah. Would you stand on your feet with me today? I didn't want to do all that next Sunday because that's our special day. We'll probably have some kind of a, we're not going to have lunch because it's so hard to do things over at that building because we don't have a kitchen over there. And food gets cold by the time we get over there. So I think you're just going to have maybe an anniversary cupcake to go in a nice little box at the back when you leave. Hallelujah. You're standing with us if you can at all. In Jesus' name. Lord, this is your house, your people, and your pastor that you called. We've been here together for 29 years. After Sunday, we will be moving right in to our 30th year. And for that, I'm thankful. We're grateful. And we do want to take care of your sweet house. I don't want us to be like they were in Oregon. Lord, 40 pastors there, and they just let that tabernacle go down to nothing. That's just a real shame. And I promised you that we'd never do that, and that we would take care of your house. We'd take care of it, Lord, and beautify it for you. But, Lord, we have priorities here. Lord, we'll paint the outside first and take care of the screens and the media and the sound. And so, Lord, you know what you've given us to do. And I just ask you to give us the very best offering possible. What a miracle. As it was for me when I asked you for $100. If somebody here asked you for $300, and Lord, either today or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday or Sunday, you brought them a $300 gift from you to give to your own house. Now, wouldn't that be just something? And they would be so happy that they received a miracle. So, Lord, I ask along with them that you would provide an offering for them that they might bless your house with us. Woo, we praise you, Father. And Lord, I would sure appreciate it if we did get 30,000, if we could get 100 people to give 300, that would be a blessing. But Lord, only you know. So we'll just leave it, put it out there, and I've made the call for a few months. And Lord, I love you so much, and so do these. And we thank you for people like Brother Ken who came and went, like Maureen and Vivian that came and went, and Sister Helen. God, we start naming them, I forget, but thank you for all of those sweet people, for those that served here, Lord, and now they're all pastoring and been a chaplain and pastors and evangelists. Dave and Nancy are global evangelists. Laney and Doyle pastoring. Tony, a chaplain for hospice. Brother Randy, a pastor. Can't thank you enough, Lord, for what you've done. Lord, sister, and I forgot to pray for Brother Ted and Linda DeLeon, who are missionaries over in Philippines today. They're in the Philippines preaching, and they're up in years, but they're still going after it. So we put a blessing upon that sweet couple as they minister in the Philippines. Lord, we thank you. Amen.